You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the host of this wonderful podcast. And on today's show, going to bring you two different things. The first one will be an update on the Pacers coaching search, where they're at, where I think they're going to go, how the Doc Rivers news changes the situation for the Pacers. Obviously, he is he's going to be Philadelphia's head coach next season, all of that stuff. And then I've been saving this for a little while, but I'm going to give my take on Victor Oladipo, what I think is going on with that, what I want to see going forward. I've been saving that all week. Simply, I just want to like immediately react to it. I wanted to give it some time, let it sit. Obviously, Tony did a podcast on earlier this week, but I think I'm ready to kind of share where I think I'm at with the Vic situation. And unfortunately, it's probably not the best, but I think it's worth talking about. You know, how do you make the best of a bad situation where the Pacers are at currently, same way they were 3 years ago? But you got to make it work. That's kind of part of being a smart NBA franchise. You just figure it out, how to move on, how to keep competing and whatnot. So, talk about the coaching search and then that at the end of the podcast. But first, let's take one little quick break, and then we'll get to today's show. So the Doc Rivers news is important in the sense that it eliminates a Mike D'Antoni team. So the Pacers are now in week 4 or 5 of their, maybe even a little, right? They fired McMillan early September, so the week 4 or 5 of this head coaching search. And obviously, there's not been a ton of news. I mean, we've got the little drip drops of stuff, right? The Billups thing, I'm not going to push his name, but the coach from Toronto, named also first name's Nate. And then you throw in Mike D'Antoni, obviously being kind of a Pacer target or like constant rumors of Pacer target. And then you throw in Mike Brown interviewed, and then the whole list of people they interviewed, stuff like that. And they're going to supposedly bring them back for a second interview. But D'Antoni has kind of always been the Pacers' number one option, number one priority, I guess, one the guy they want the most, frankly. And I think Philadelphia, where I think he was probably the odds on favorite to become their head coach until Doc got fired, means that it just one less team to compete with, right? So I think the Pelicans are the other option for D'Antoni right now. It's been a well-circulated fact that the Pelicans also want him. I don't know why the D'Antoni news hasn't happened sooner with any of the teams. Now, I don't know if he was really close to a deal with the Sixers and they pull it last minute when they saw Doc was available. Because I think the Doc firing, it sounds like, was pretty sudden. Like, he didn't think he was going to get fired, and then he was. I don't know if D'Antoni wants so much money that he can't really get there, that he can't really get the offer he wants because he's been holding out for, you know, $7 or $8 million instead of 4 or 5, trying to get a bidding war going. I don't know what the Pacers, for example, if they're just sort of waiting it out and trying to see, you know, really go through the process, really interview guys 2-3 times to pick their candidate because I know it's a really big decision for them. But I think the Sixers news is nothing but good for the Pacers if you want D'Antoni to be the head coach, right? I think we'll see. I mean, so the way I talked about it, Tony talked about it in the past, is it's kind of a domino effect, right? As soon as one coach goes, you'll start to see, or at least one of the big openings goes, you'll start to see kind of a domino effect, right? So we've seen kind of the outliers fill it, right? So Brooklyn was kind of an outlier team in the sense that, like, none of the main coaching candidates were there, and it was going to be somebody who can, like, win a championship, right? So, like, D'Antoni wasn't a rumor for there, right? I think if there had been time, maybe Doc would have been, right? But that was that one. I think Boston is on the other – not Boston, sorry. The Bulls on the other side of that spectrum, where they were so bad they weren't going to get any of the top candidates, right? Nobody wants to go coach the Bulls, really. They're going to have to get some kind of – somebody who is – wants to still coach but is, you know, fire, like a McMillan or a – honestly, who they hired in Billy Donovan, right? Guys who just, like, maybe are in the 15 to 20 best coach in the league, and guys who, you know, if everything goes right, can be considered good coaches, but not, like, you know – super desirable candidates for a team looking for top-level coaches, right? So then there's kind of this list of the Pacers, the Pelicans, and the 76ers. So it's kind of three teams, right, who are all kind of in the same level. And the Sixers have the best situation. They fall by the Pelicans and the Pacers, right? And so the candidates out there, obviously, were all these assistant coaches, and then you throw in something like Chauncey Billups, you throw out D'Antoni, stuff like that. And then, obviously, you know, Doc Rivers popped up all of a sudden. And so Doc going to one of them kind of takes the first domino out, right? So now D'Antoni's got two teams to choose from. Does he end up with one of them? If he doesn't, I'm not sure he's going to coach this season. So that'll be interesting to see. But that's where, you know, that domino is at. And I think the Pacers are probably going to be the last domino to fall. I think the Pelicans probably hire somebody, then the Pacers. But we'll see. I mean, I expect there to be a move in the next few weeks. I mean, we're getting towards the – usually want to have a coach hired by the end of the NBA Finals, and we're could be 8 days away from the Finals, or we could be another – what, we could have another 12 because it could go seven games, just depending what happens. But I think we'll be interesting to see what the Pacers do. I think the Doc news shakes things up. I mean, we can get the Antonio news pretty soon if it does if he's going to be a Pacer or a Pelican. We can get the news pretty soon because he might not have the you know, his desired destination. But I do think also the Pacers with D'Antoni and any coach they bring in is going to be interesting to see how they balance or what that coach wants in terms of talent, right? I mean, the Pacers are a team that's in flux. I mean, you know, they're not like in flux in the sense that like they have need a new GM or new owner or whatever, but they're in flux in the sense that their roster necessarily doesn't want to be here, right? I mean, I think we've, you know, in the last month, rumors about Sabonis, Turner, and Oladipo all wanting out, right? Those are three of the Pacers' top five players. Now, maybe you just, you know, can figure it out and build around Sabonis and Brogdon, and that's the future. But like that's going to play a factor in this, and whoever the coach they get, right? Because he's going to have to figure out how to pick up the pieces, right? Are the Pacers going to trade Oladipo, which we'll talk about next, or are they going to hold him on for a little bit, which I'll kind of talk about what I think they should do next. But so that's sort of the thing that's kind of clouding this whole coaching search. And maybe D'Antoni doesn't want the job because he doesn't want to be with a team that's kind of going to have to trade their second, third best player, and wants to go to a team like the Pelicans where he knows what he's getting, right? He's going to get Brandon Ingram next year. He's going to get Zion, and then the rest of the pieces will fit around him. Maybe they'll lose Jrue Holiday, but, you know, he'll have two young guys to build around. And in the same sense, then you bring in a kind of coaching candidate who just wants the head coaching job, who wants to prove himself, who thinks he can make the best of the situation and help this team grow. And so maybe that's the Raptors assistant or any other assistant I'm not thinking of, you know. Maybe Billups wants to be here like that. But, I mean, the Pacers, in my opinion, their coaching coaching job is not that desirable right now. I mean, they'd have to swing some kind of blockbuster trade or be moving in on one to convince a coach that, like, they're ready to win now, right? They're not ready to win now. They'll compete. They'll be a, you know, 50-win team, but they're not ready to win a championship now. They're not ready to be on that level. So, and they have a move to make. Don't get me wrong. There is a move to make, whether it's in around Victor Oladipo or not, there's a move to make to get better, to compete for a championship. So I don't think they're necessarily like in a position where they're screwed, but they just don't have their team set, right? And they don't have their coach set. So it's just, you know, but, you know, you can make both moves at the same time and make a huge leap. I mean, that's how teams do it. Every time they bring in a really good coach and they go after get a big name player, and that kind of does it. So, you know, that's all to say that I think the coaching search definitely will accelerate going forward. And I just wonder if D'Antoni wants to be in Indiana or if the Pacers want to pay him the kind of money he wants because of just where the team's at, right? It'd be different if you were thought you were kind of that one move away, but the Pacers are multiple moves away from competing for a championship. And I think D'Antoni does help the team. I think it would definitely be nice to see the Pacers play a more modern style and could have kind of, I think, actually bring the best out of Brogdon. And I think Sabonis. I think Sabonis actually fits into his system because I think he can turn him into a Jokic type player, right? I think, you know, D'Antoni likes really good guards and really good passers, and I think he could really help Sabonis make that leap. So maybe that's where the move is, but we'll see what happens that coaching search. I would expect something to happen sooner rather than later. Now that could be 2 weeks still, but it's going to start picking up, and so it's exciting. You know, we've had kind of a quiet 3 weeks. You just had, you know, lots of name floated, but nothing really happening. So be excited to see if the Pacers pick as their head coach, because that will, I think, have a huge indication of what they want to get out of next year. And that's what I want to talk about next. I think the Vic thing is key to them deciding what they want to do next year. Do they want to compete or do they not? But first, to go to one of our great sponsors, that is Built Go. So you probably heard of Built Bar, which is a protein bar that sponsored this podcast and a lot of the Locked On Network podcasts for the better part of the year. Well, they now have a new thing called Built Go. And what it is kind of an energy type thing to help you break that wall. So you know how like middle of the day you get tired, lose energy and whatnot. Well, Built Go is this 1.5 ounce little basically like energy shot that will help you get through the rest of your day without the same crashes as other kind of energy drinks or like that, right? It comes in three amazing flavors, right? It says protein, peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, or chocolate mint, right? It combines is energy gel with collagen protein, so you get a combination of both. You get a little protein and a little kick. It's fast absorbing into your systems, and it's easy on your stomach, and it's loaded with all the good stuff to ignite any kind of work. So this is for working out. This is for just normal day working, whatever it is, right? They combine kind of this B3 honey and a kick of caffeine. Built Bar Go then kicks in to give you super, strong energy to get through the rest of your day. And right now, if you go to BuiltGoat.com, use a promo code LOCKED. You'll get 30% off your next order. That's a promo code LOCKED for 30% off your first order at BuiltGo.com. Let's go, BuiltGo. And today's Locked On Pacers podcast is also brought to you by our lovely friends over at DoorDash. I've been doing this, you know, live read for a while, and DoorDash is a great thing you can use to get food delivered directly to your door in a contactless, safe way, right? So DoorDash has everything you can think of, right? They have everything from like your local eateries to your chain restaurants, and they can deliver to your door easy, quick, fast from their app. It's super simple. I use this for all kinds of stuff. You know, I said last time my favorite restaurant to get kind of DoorDashed is Ocean when I'm home in Indy. When I'm here in Jackson, there's a couple of Mexican places I love to get DoorDashed. It is a great way just to get food quick, easy, and safe delivered right to you. And right now, listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more with zero delivery fees if they download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off with zero deliveries on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in any of the app stores and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, the code is LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. So I'm ready to kind of talk about Vic for a short bit, I guess. We're not going to go too long on him. But I'm not surprised. You know, we've been hearing as the Pacers, you know, I've been hearing the rumors about him at least for a while. You know, it really goes back to the injury, frankly. He clearly is not happy with what happened with that. And I think he's just sort of frustrated with the team in general, right? The team, which I think got better, but didn't get good at, you know, didn't make the next step, I guess. And, you know, I think he does want to win. I think he said that wherever he had the quote this morning about how he was just basically, I'm a Pacer and I'm focused on rehabbing my knee right now. So I think if the Pacers built him a winner, he would probably stick around. And it's kind of, I think the same thing with Paul George, right? The problem with the Pacers right now is they're just not they're not quite at that level. Now, I've said before, I think better coach, make one move, and they are competing. You know, and that might be enough to get Vic to stick around, right? Because I think with Vic, there's going to be some, depending on how he plays next season, it's going to be an interesting year, right? If he comes out playing fantastic, max deal wherever he goes. But if he's kind of shaky, he's not looking at a lot of money, right? He's looking at probably maybe a two-year deal, at, you know, let's say 20, 25 a year, maybe, right? He just, you know, we just don't know, right? We haven't seen it, right? You haven't seen him return the injury and look like himself, right? And it's such a unique injury. And, you know, he really has only been this, like, awesome player, maxwell player for, what, a season, right? Basically, that one year, he was amazing, and that was kind of it. Maybe he can get back. I don't know. I have my hesitations, but maybe he can. But I think his frustration goes back to, if you look at the Pacers, he got hurt, and they kind of retooled the roster, right? They got rid of Collison and Bojan and brought in Brogdon and Warren and shifted the two centers. And I think a lot of frustration is that, frankly, the Pacers with Miles Turner as a center are not necessarily going to be successful. So that's part of his whole issue. So I think if they make that move and, you know, play a little smaller and make it fit better, he actually would play pretty well, right? And I think that could really help boost him because I think playing with the guy Sabonis plays well to his strengths and whatnot. But if he simply just because he doesn't want to be a super, you know, he doesn't want to be the number one guy on a team, like PG always had the thing where I'm not sure he wanted to be the number one guy, right? You can kind of see he wanted to be a duo, right? And I don't know if Vic has that same thing in him or whatnot. I didn't feel the same way. Like PG has just kind of always been kind of fake talk, hence, you know, the Clippers stuff where like, I think Vic is serious about trying to, you know, compete for championships and be really good. And you have to like, balance that with money at some point, right? I mean, not a lot of, you know, there's a ton of cap space. I mean, Miami would be the one next year. But I'm the Pacers, you know, you look around, you see what's out there. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not sure you can get much plus value for him just because he makes $21 million a year and he's injured. I mean, there's some value in expiring deals. So, like, some names I floated out obviously have been like Chris Paul or Westbrook, for example, right? He's expiring so he can, or even, I don't know if I do John Wall, but like, you could trade him with another guy and maybe make the salaries to fit a Westbrook or fit a Chris Paul, right? None of the Pacers want any of those players. Chris Paul, I would say yes. Westbrook, I would say no. But, you know, you can make a case that, listen, if you're going to lose him anyways, you could flip him and Turner and Leaf for Westbrook tomorrow. Now, do I want to play with Westbrook $47 million in the next 2 years? I don't know. Probably not. But he does bring a different dynamic to the team, right? I mean, he does bring something. I mean, Westbrook is still a very good basketball player. Now he needs to kind of play more within himself, but he actually would be a fine player if you know, he would help Indiana win 50 games a year. I'm not sure he would help him win the playoffs though. And you know, Chris Paul obviously would, and I'm not sure he's going to be available, right? Chris Paul is probably a plus value guy at this point. He'd probably get picks for Chris Paul, but Vic's value probably is the fact that he can provide cap relief for a team on a bad contract and maybe get a first round pick with it. The other thing is you ship him off somewhere like the Knicks. I've seen that float around a little bit. I don't think the Knicks would want to trade for him, to be honest, but like, does a team that just wants a guy to, you know, they can market for a season and, you know, delusionally think they can bring him back, flip a few picks for him? I doubt it. I mean, I think Vic at max is getting him one first round pick and it's not going to be in the top 10. I mean, you're going to have to attach a bunch of stuff to make that work. So I think right now you just kind of hold. I mean, unless you get some blown away offer, why not hold, let it come back a year? I mean, you know, if you can't get a plus value for him, right, so you can't get an asset for him anyways, and I'm not sure you can, then why make the trade? I mean, I know you don't want to lose an asset for nothing, but if you can't get a plus asset, if you're looking at, like, teams offering, you know, bad players in sour matches in a late first-round pick, it's in, like, the late 20s, that's not really worth it, right? I mean, at some point, him expiring is worth more because it's some cap space, right? If he does expire and they make some other moves, they do create cap space to get somebody, especially if they can, you know, you have the space with Turner, and there's some stuff there, right? I mean, there's room for Max. They're going to get anybody, but there's room, right? So, you know, and especially if he takes off at the end of the year, one that helps you, maybe a team plays really well in this shot, or the other thing is he plays so well you can trade him for something, right? I mean, that was what Paul George's value was, that, you know, with when he had a year and a half left, so it's a little different situation. But Paul George was like, they could have traded him at that trade deadline, and they knew he was going to leave that summer for, or was wanted out that summer for, like, three first-round picks from Boston. I don't know if Vic will ever fetch that much, but if he plays really well, he could probably fetch something from a contender, because his salary is enough where they can match, right? So, like, you know, both LA teams are probably kind of got a wipe because they don't have any of their picks. But, like, the Nets have some value? Yeah, like, could you see them? You know, Nets can make some salaries match and throw some picks, maybe that could work. Miami's same situation. Maybe Miami loses this year, and, you know, Butler kind of is on the, you know, they want to kind of, because, like, you know, I think Miami would say, oh, let's wait till Vic's a free agent, but maybe there's something there with Miami's like, you know what, our window is now, and then we saw Vic for 3 months, he's really good, he would help us, you know, win the championship, right? There is that possibility. Or Boston, I mean, those are teams that you maybe wouldn't get it, like, a massive haul, but you could get something, maybe a young player, maybe a late 20s pick. But, you know, I think there's some value in waiting, right, at this point, unless you can somehow get some great offer. And, you know, I think you hope maybe he will stay, right? You know, he hasn't played with this roster, right? He kind of played with it, right? But there was no Sabonis, and they're going to make a move with one of the centers. If they don't, then Vic should want out. I mean, frankly, if I'm any player on this team, I don't want to play two centers. It's not how the NBA works. So if, you know, and then if they pick the wrong center, that's another problem. But I kind of get it. You know, I see why he'd want out. I think he thinks they might script the medicals with his knee, which seems kind of fair game considering, you know, you don't just blow out your quad tendon. Like, usually you have a partial tear in it before it blows out. Like, that's a pretty rare thing just to blow out randomly. Usually it's a miss on that injury. So I get him wanting out. I think, though, the thing with the Pacers, they have two values. That's incumbency value, and that's he really hasn't played with the full roster yet, right? And maybe you take that with a new coach and a move, and you can pay him, you know, $180 million, and that gets him to stay, and that might work. You know, he wants to be traded probably because the teams can use his bird rights, right? So that's a huge value because, you know, his next contract, no matter what, is going to be his last big contract, right? He's either going to get a 4-year max or a 5-year max, and he's probably, you know, he's not one of these guys at the end of his 4 is going to get that 5th year back, right? Like, you can make a case when Paul George signed an extension, right? He's the type of player where he could play 4 years and he'll get the 5th year back anyways because he'll be only 31 and still in his prime, and he'll easily get another, you know, 3 or 4-year max. Where, like, Vic will be 32 at the end of a 4-year deal, will be 33 at the end of a 5-year deal. Like, he's not going to get another max in this other unless he somehow is a different player than I'm seeing right now who can, like, has this longevity, right? He's a guy who puts his body on the line, gets hurt a decent amount, whether even before, you know, he had the whole knee thing where he blew out his knee. Like, he had knee injuries a little here and there. Like, he's a guy who takes a lot of contact, so he's gonna be more injury prone. Like, he's not gonna get a second big contract. This is his last opportunity. And at some point too, you know, he's made a lot of money, but, you know, $180 million is also a lot of money, and it sort of takes you from one level to the next level, and it's kind of life-changing kind of money the way $84 million is. It's even more life-changing money. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. If I'm the Pacers, I just – you should peek around, look around, see what's out there. You know, if you could put him in a Drew Holiday trade, that might be worth it, and whatnot. But I just think, you know, if you think he's going to be good next year, you're just better holding him and saying play, and let's see what happens. Because they, you know, if he's 2017-18, Vic, they have a shot at going to these even conference finals if they figure out the center issue. I think they do. Just because he was, you know, my opinion, that year, if they didn't play Cleveland the first round, they probably would have won a first round series. They might have even made the conference finals for all we know. Just they were a really good team, right? They took Cleveland to 7, and Cleveland won the conference that year. So they were as good close to as good as you can get with the best team in that conference. So, you know, and he was a huge part of that. He was a fantastic player that season. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep monitoring that. You know, I don't know if there'll be any moves for a while, to be honest. You know, I think at some point there'll be an avalanche of trades and stuff like that. But I think for a little while, we want to see kind of a pause while they figure out the CBA and when the new start date is and whatnot. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with that. You know, that's kind of the nerdy cap stuff. But following all that stuff, we'll see if they hire a new coach this week, hopefully, or in the next week, I guess, this is a Friday podcast. So, but Tony and I will be back on Monday with another one of our weekly shows. And if they have a new coach, we'll break that down. If not, we'll figure out something else to talk about because there's a lot of Pacer news all over the place. That is all for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest of your day.